Lawsuit. Unscripted with Niamh O'Connor. A Go Loud original podcast.
My name's Niamh O'Connor and this is my podcast, Unscripted, a Go Loud original. You may have seen me knocking around TikTok and Instagram, but if you don't know me, this podcast is the best way to get to know anything and everything there is to know about me. When I was thinking of an idea for my podcast, I wanted it to be something really authentic. I wanted it to be something that reflected me. And I thought Unscripted was just that. I think everybody knows that's one thing that I definitely am. We all know I've had my fair shares of ups and downs, so whether it's love life or just a daily dilemma, I'm going to be here to help. I've probably gone through it. Each week, I'll be covering a new topic and asking you guys to send in your dilemmas for me to answer right here in the studio. There'll be new episodes available every Wednesday on the Go Loud app or wherever you guys get your podcasts. Hello guys and welcome back to episode 22 of Unscripted. I hope everybody has had the best week and thank you for all the lovely feedback on my episode with Alex. Honestly, girls, I thought I'd never get him into the studio, so it's a fucking miracle. Okay, I don't know if we'll ever see him in here again, but at least we got him once. I'm sure we will when he has another song to promote, actually. That's a little dig at Alex in case nobody noticed. But yeah, I hope everybody has had a great week. I actually don't know what I've done this week. I've done nothing. I've literally just sat at home. Do you know what? I feel like I'm actually really on a motivated like work buzz at the moment. So I'm just constantly filming. I'm doing nothing interesting. But it is my birthday on the 7th of February. So I'm recording this on the 1st. So that is like what? How many days is that? 6 days? I'm so bad at maths. It's my birthday on the 7th of February, but me and Alex are going to the Galgorm on the 5th. I'm so excited. I've wanted to go to the Galgorm for the longest time. So Alex booked it for my birthday and yeah, that'll be so nice. It'll be lovely. I'm literally buzzing. But less about me because today we have a very exciting guest, a highly requested guest. Every time I put up question boxes, there was multiple people asking for this guest to come on. So he is a TikTok icon, commonly known for his catchphrases like let's gay slay the day mua and blanca chocolate magnum cookie, waffle chocolate. It's Jack Swift, guys. So Jack, hello. Thank you for coming in to Unscripted today. I actually just had to look at the wall, guys, to check the name of my own podcast. What the hell? Jack, thank you so much for coming in.
No problem. I'm really, really happy to be on. And like just, I can't believe I'm actually in the iconic room itself. It's still fabulous.
Jack texted me when I asked Jack to come on. I was like, Jack, do you want to come in for 12? And he was like, can we do a bit later? Because I'll probably be hungover.
And I was literally like, and if I look like a sack of rotten potatoes today, I'm so sorry.
No, lads, you'd want to smell him. He smells unreal. He whipped out this big Dubai perfume thing. The fucking bottle is nearly up to the roof of the room. It's class.
And so, it's affordable, boys and girls. So like, yeah, you can smell nice and be on a budget. It's lay, cost of living crisis.
Yeah, I actually got a bottle. I was telling him. I went in, I think it was Liffey Valley, and I went over €40 for a big huge bottle of perfume. Here I am paying about £100 for bottles of Prada that are only tiny.
And that's the thing, and where there's some perfumes is only 5% of perfume oil, but they're not telling consumers that because they want to make money. Where, look, don't get me wrong, I love a good John Malone or a good Armani, but I also love a good Victoria's Secret or a good Latafa perfume. Latafa, I would recommend. It's a lot of gorgeous for men and women.
Speaking of John Malone, I seen people giving you stick the other day.
Yeah.
Because you said Joan Malone and everyone was giving you stick in the comments.
Did I say it right this time?
Yeah, you said Joan Malone there. Well done.
We're making
pop off. Exactly. Exactly. Right. Jack, what actually made you want to start social media?
Like, I just done like a fun account, like, you know, back in 2019 in lockdown when people were just doing mad videos.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just see how this gets on.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not famous. I don't like to label myself as famous.
You are. Are you for real? He has a mug with Herad Studios. He's sitting here saying he's not famous.
And I suppose like at the start, if I didn't really know how to feel, and people are coming up saying, hello, how are you? Like when a girl came up and said, are you the fella that does them videos at first? I thought like, I was in trouble.
Yeah.
Am I under arrest? Yeah. Or something? She's like, no, you're grand. I just really, really like your videos. So I was like, oh, wow, this is mad. And I think as I got older, I learned to like appreciate the following and the support from people.
Yeah. And it is, it's overwhelming, isn't it? Like, because I started during COVID, right? So obviously we weren't going outside. So I was making all these videos and gaining all these followers.
I have to say, I've been a major fan, like literally. Even since the caravan videos, I was like, love you so much.
Oh, Jack, I love you. But I wasn't going outside, so I wasn't realising that like people were going to be coming up to me in real life. Then COVID ended. People are coming up to me on the street and it is overwhelming. Like, it can be really overwhelming. Did you find that when it first kind of...
I always say everybody, like, in whether it's content creation or influencing, I don't really know what to call myself, but everybody has a different way where some people want to be left. I love it. Like, I do shots with my followers. I give them hugs. I'm like, let's party, let's vibe. Yeah. But just because I'm like that doesn't mean everybody else has to be like that. So I know a few people that say, you know, I don't give them attention. Where I think I wouldn't be at them without my followers.
Yeah.
So every time I reach a milestone, every time I have an achievement, it's just a beautiful journey. Like, they're all like a family to me.
Oh, Jack, I always, and one thing about Jack, you are very, very grateful for every, like, I always see you, if you go like up like 100 followers, you'll be like, guys, thank you so much. And there's not a lot of people that like, I feel really appreciate their following and thank their following for all the support the way you do. So that is definitely very, very commendable on your behalf.
And I said this earlier, like, you can do amazing things with a hammer, but you can also do disturbing things with a hammer.
Oh, Jack, that is such a good metaphor.
Like, social media, I find so many people want to get noticed where they will almost do things that are unmorally right, that are horrible, but it's that rage bait and that shock factor, where it's like, I would rather be respected than to be famous, because you can be famous, but you can also be famous for being an a-hole.
Yeah, exactly. And there is a lot of people on. So I would even say maybe I was a little bit like that during like 21, 22. I don't know. I don't think I ever intentionally was, but I was a bit crazy. But there's a lot of people now like on TikTok. I feel like it's become such a like, I don't know. It's, there's so many, like everyone's using TikTok. So there is a lot of people using like rage bait and stuff to get popular. But I feel like that's becoming infamous, and there's a difference, because people, if you're nice and you're like nice to your followers and you make nice content, people are loyal to you.
And look, at the end of the day, I'm not perfect. I am not an angel. I didn't fall from the sky, and all hell and sacred, I have made multiple mistakes in and off social media, and I recognise rage bait being so problematic, because when I was younger, I would be, you know, doing call out videos, or I'd be like the absolute hack here, like, what if I do this, where as I've gotten older, I don't need to respond to every single hateful person. Yeah. I don't need to come across like an aggressive little bitch.
Yeah.
Like, I think social media has definitely humbled me, where I used to think, oh, these are all horrible, but I've learned as an adult that not everything is an attack.
Yeah.
And taking accountability is the best thing you can do for growth.
Oh, I'm the exact, I like, you know me, Jack, I used to be replying to every fucking hate comment. And you know, me and Shanice were only talking about this like,
but this is so funny, when you used to do your replying videos, that's why I done my replying videos.
No!
She's actually Wonder Woman. Like, the way I'd be laughing, going, oh my God, this woman has no fucks given.
No. So. But I've learned now, and I like that you say that, because I've learned now, I feel like I've really stopped giving those people my energy. Because do you know what? Sometimes with people like that, there's nothing that can change their mind about you. There's nothing. So now, if I even, do you know what I do now, Jack, right? I respond to them. And then I put it in my drafts and I say, I'm going to upload that in 10 minutes. But the 10 minutes passes and I'm like, I don't care. I'm not uploading that.
You're going on about your day and protecting your peace.
Yeah, exactly. And right. So I'm so intrigued to know, how did Gay Slay the Day start?
Right. So I just was like doing videos about catchphrase. And this is coming from the heart. This is not like, let's do a script talk.
Yeah.
So I see, you know, the little shows with like iCarly and Victorious, and they have the little sayings. Mm-hmm. I was like, let's do a quirky little saying. But because I'm not an advocate for the LGBTQ+ community, like, I don't want to say I am, because in the it's a big community and everybody represents differently. I represent myself, but I don't represent anyone else. But anyway, I was like, I want to do something for the community. So I was like, gay, okay, slay and gay.
Yeah.
And like today, and I was like, gay slay today. okay. Yeah. And it worked. I was like, okay, gay slay today. And I was going to just go gay slay today. And then I don't know why someone said you should add a little thing at the end of it. And I went, mwah.
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 That is like the, one of the most, I feel like on Irish TikTok, that is one of the most iconic sayings. Like if I go up to someone and I say, let's gay slay today, mwah, they're like Jack Swift. They know straight away. So it's really good to, it's really good that you've made, like, I feel like you haven't even like really tried really hard. You're just an iconic person. So you've made this little iconic like saying and catchphrase.
And I think through my youth, I wasn't always iconic. I had a lot of trauma because I talk about being bullied in school. Yeah. And then, like, I don't know, just bad experiences as a teenager. And yeah. I was just, and then I found I was very bitchy to people and very yeah. like a negative way of mindset. But I was like, that's the biggest thing with being in the closet is like
yeah.
feeling like the world's on your shoulders. And that's why I was so angry and such, yeah. such a little bitch. Like,
yeah.
But now I'm just able to be happy. I'm able to tell people the best thing you can do is just come out, be yourself. Yeah, I lost a lot of friends. Like, it was kind of pathetic. Like, I had a lot of false friends.
Really?
Yeah, and I thought
that's
they
horrible.
And I thought they were my good friends. But do you know what I mean? I'm seeing that now as an adult. I'd love to hug younger me and realize
yeah.
you'll find your tribe.
And yeah.
it doesn't matter how different you are, like no matter what background, ethnicity, sexuality, whoever you are as a person, you will always find your tribe.
Facts, facts. And that's horrible to hear that. Like, I can't believe in this day and age that anybody would lose friends for coming out. But what you say about, like, I feel like whenever you have like something traumatic or anything like that, and it's kind of unresolved, it does make you kind of angry, doesn't it? Like, same, there's been so many times in my life where I can look back and be like, oh my god, I was being a little bitch here, but it's because something that was going on. And like, it's like a vicious cycle. And that's why I always say as well about like bullies on the internet, there's something going on with them.
I always say I've always seen you saying this, a happy person doesn't feel the need
yeah.
to attack someone.
Yeah.
So like, where I didn't realise that, and I was in a very, I was hurt by these comments every day, and only to 24 years of age now freshly to
yeah.
be like, I think that person has a lot of issues. And sometimes when people don't know how to project their own feelings, they project it onto someone they feel threatened by.
Yeah, exactly. And do you know what? I think as well, confident people, for somebody that's really suffering with like insecurity or not feeling confident in themselves, when they go and they see people online being very confident, very comfortable in their own skin, that is, it's a threat to them. And I hate to be the person being like, they're jealous, but it is a kind of envy because maybe they wish that they had the confidence to be that way. So I always say now, like, if somebody is online every single day being venomous and, you know, bullying people, I feel sorry for them. I pity them.
Yeah.
Even though it's like, okay, no, I don't pity you because you're being an asshole. But at the same time,
but it takes a lot to hate yeah. someone. Like, yeah. I was real, like, I hate this person. I hate them.
Yeah.
And I'd sit there and I'd almost be shaking yeah, with the venom yeah, yeah. inside me. But I'm like, you're not a person I'd sit with.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want you to starve.
Yeah.
Like, where I just don't have it in me to hate somebody.
Yeah.
Now, like, I have moments where I am a bitch and I'm only human, you yeah. know, I'm not always going to be PR'd and happy. Like, this morning, I don't know, like, I sometimes I'll have happy times, but this yeah. morning, like, I'll be the first one to humble myself. I don't believe yeah. I'm the most beautiful person in the realm. Like, I looked at the mirror
and Jack, you are. Don't ever say that about yourself. You are. And do you know what? Beauty comes from within. This whole shit of how you look, nothing, you could be Kate Moss on the outside and it doesn't matter if you are a horrible person. Mm. And you're a good person and a nice person and you have a really good energy. Like, even sitting here with you, the minute I walked in, Lauren was laughing, guys, before we started the podcast. Because me and Jack were just sitting chatting away and she was like, this is going to be a great episode. You are so comfortable with each other. But you radiate like energy that people are comfortable around. So don't ever be, you are beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And that's why people love you.
And there's always the assumption that I always have to be happy. And then like, it causes controversy when yeah. I come on and say, I'm depressed, I'm upset, yeah. I'm having a bad day. Everyone's like, oh yeah, but you know, you'll go out on a night out tomorrow, you'll go out shopping, like yeah. no. But like at the end of the day, we show, I don't want to say normal, like people who aren't on social media aren't normal, but why do we treat people on social media like they're like a vihip bottle?
Yeah.
Like they're just, that they don't deserve to have empathy. I mean, I have days, yeah, where I'll go, slate and kick my leg and go,
yeah.
I'm happy, but I, like, people don't see what my family and friends see. Like, I could have had a really, really mental breakdown. Like
yeah.
there was literally one time I was in a burst of tears and my whole family had to like comfort me, and then the next day I went down and I was like, hello everyone.
Yeah, but that's normal. Like, not obviously if you're suffering with mental health, like, it fucking feels like the end of the world for you. But, like, I think people online as well don't see, you don't have to be crying on the ground, rocking every day to be depressed. Like, when you're depressed, you can have days where it feels better, you feel better. The next day, you might be crying and upset again. Like, we're all human, and emotions, I don't know, you're probably a bit like me, I'm an emotional roller coaster. One day I can be fucking up on the top of the world. The next day it's the worst thing ever.
I feel like the world's ending.
Yeah.
I just think, like, why does mental health have a certain look?
Yeah.
And, like, that's so negatively stigmatizing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the happiest people can sometimes have the deepest rooted problems.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, even the way we treat celebrities, like, we look at them and think they have money, they have fame, who cares about them?
Yeah.
But, like, just because you have money or materialistic things, it doesn't mean that you don't have a problem on the inside.
Absolutely. Money doesn't, like, I think people, even with me, when I did OnlyFans, I had so much money. I had so much money that I could have wiped my arse with money. Now, I blew through all of it, but I had all this, like, money. I had a villa in Turkey. I had all these materialistic things, but I was so deeply unhappy. I was miserable. And I think people see somebody that has all this money and is like, well, what would you have to be upset about? It actually, do you know what?
I think any human can get upset, like, yeah, whether you're a man or a woman, like, yeah, like, I had that, to even say that, and this thing of man up, I mentioned it on the Socially Awkward podcast. It's so, and then people are like, oh, well, we need to talk more about men's mental health, and it's like, well, it's not talked about enough, yeah, because we're constantly trying to put that in, where toxic masculinity is not toxic, it's only toxic when it's threatened by femininity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've said that before, and I think, like, I will sit here and say I have a cry this, yeah, morning. I had a panic attack and I felt like bursting into tears.
Oh, Jack.
And do you know what, it's okay to show that, like, you don't have to suffer in silence. And I genuinely done that, because I have days where I sometimes sit in my own thoughts and think no one cares, I'm not going to burden anyone. And that's what, and it's so annoying because I'm in a room full of people and they're like, don't feel like that. But
yeah,
I say my mind is the worst enemy.
Yeah.
Because my mind, like, almost goes into a tornado in facets.
Yeah.
But that's my reality of mental health is different for everyone,
yeah,
you know?
And with men, I feel like exactly what you said there, like, men are told from, like, literally, like, so young when they're kids, man up, like, you know, big boys don't cry. And I that causes then toxic masculinity, because it's like, oh, well, you're not allowed to, I'm a man, I'm not allowed to show emotion, I'm not allowed to cry. And that's why then, like, things like male suicide rates are higher, because, do you know, there's a really interesting fact, okay? More girls actually attempt suicide, but more men actually commit suicide. The reason is because girls feel comfortable asking for help. They feel comfortable speaking to their friends. They feel comfortable crying, being open, whereas men don't. So say more girls are suffering with the, not with the mental health, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But more men actually go through and fully do it because they don't have, they feel like they can't ask for help.
We're so, like, I just think we're so obsessed with, like, things having to be a gender, like, this is for a man, this,
yeah,
for a woman. To even say, people are saying an emotion is for a gender, like,
yeah, that's,
I just
ridiculous.
Think it's mind-boggling, like,
yeah,
anybody can have a cry, like,
yeah,
you know, it's just,
and men and women, like, the thing is, emotionally, men and women are not that different. Like, men get upset just like women do, and then that's what causes, I feel like, you know, when you see a lot of kind of, I get a lot of angry men at me, you know, in my comments all the time. I feel like this is all, like, it's all interlinked. It's like a societal problem, because saying things to little boys like man up and big boys don't cry, they're going to carry that through for their whole life. They're not going to feel comfortable ever speaking about their feelings, opening up about their mental health, asking for help if they need it. They're never going to feel comfortable doing any of that because they've been told from 2 years old, man up and big boys don't cry. Big boys do cry. Brave men cry.
And in my personal opinion, when I've seen men attack you personally online, like, they're like the same age as my father, or I think,
yeah,
it's like,
it is,
it's disgusting. It's like, how would you feel if someone spoke to your daughter like,
yeah,
that? Or sometimes I've had it even with women my mom's age being,
yeah,
like, that top doesn't fit you,
yeah,
wear clothes that fit you. I'm,
yeah,
like, God love you, and I don't mean to be ageist. I understand everyone is allowed to have an opinion or feel whatever,
yeah,
but when I see men and women commenting on young people's bodies and how they should portray themselves, I'm thinking, like, God love you, has life taught you not to be kind. Like, have you got to do, like, I don't know. For me, it's just weird. Like my mom and dad wouldn't even bother with social. No. My dad doesn't even know how to use Facebook.
Neither would mine. Like, never in a million years. If I ever caught my dad writing hate comments on Addy, I'd lock him in a room and throw away the key.
Yeah, I'd say the same. My mom and dad would be like, oh my God, stop. Like, cook the lasagna or something. Yeah. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Check the immersion. Like, honest to God.
Right. Where I'm really intrigued to know, because I think one of the biggest things about you, Jack, and something that's really commendable about you, is that you don't give a fuck. You wear what you want. You don't care, right? And I'm really intrigued to know, where do you pull your main, like, fashion inspo from?
I'll be honest, my fashion used to be terrible. I mean, 2021 to 2022, I dressed like someone's auntie gone to their 60th.
But that's I will admit, finding yourself.
And I really, and I was sitting there going, why is everyone being me? And I love my nanny tops. But, like, I was reading the comments going, okay, I think I am dressing like a nanny. I do need to, like, eventually check. But that's where I truly found the fashion is wearing this. Now, I see a video I put up about how my fashion's gotten better. According to the Americans, my fashion hasn't gotten better.
Oh, fuck the Americans. God, fuck them. Don't mind them. Like, they can't say anything, Jack. They can't cheese, okay? They cannot say anything.
Like, I don't want to disrespect a country, but, like, I literally put up one video and I was like, where? All these comments come from people like, oh, it's from Americans, where I'm just, but I think because in America, like, with Donald Trump being the president, I mean, sorry to piss off Donald Trump fans, but like, I can just see the gay rights movement in America going back because of Donald Trump. And even the view, the laws he has on women is just disgusting. Now, I know I'm not a woman and there is certain subjects I should keep into my own realm, but because I love my mom, I have female friends, my sister. I'm not a woman, but it shocks a core in me to see the laws he has set up for women.
Oh my God. You know, there was a thing. Sorry now, if we have any Trumpies listening to the pod, you're going to be pissed off. So trigger warning. But he said there was this thing. A trans woman went in to get her passport renewed or get a passport. They wouldn't put female on her passport because now, I don't know, I think the law is that you have to go by, you have to go by your gender. He said at conception, that's wrong. It's meant to be at birth. But anyway, because everyone is initially female at conception. But anyways.
Because people say, you have, like, I don't know, not breasts, but like.
Yeah, that's why men before. Have nipples. Yeah, because men don't, like, grow their little male bits until 6 to 8 weeks. So initially, everyone is essentially female. But then this trans woman went, when she went to the passport place, first they were like, no, we're not putting female. Then they just took all of her documents and refused to give her a passport. What, because she's trans? She can't get a passport?
Like, genuinely, like, people think trans thing is a thing you can just wake up and go, right, I'm being trans tomorrow. Yeah. And I know I'm not, I have transgender followers and friends. Yeah. So I didn't really know much about transgender rights, but I wanted to educate myself just because if I ever offended anybody or if I ever unknowingly offended anybody, I'd done the education for the people in my life that I love and respect. So you actually have to be diagnosed with gender dysphoria, where there can be people who go trans for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
So a psychologist has to assess if you are transgender before. But like, I love transgender people, especially trans women, because they fought the way for gay people.
Yeah.
If anything, I respect trans people the most in the community itself. And I'll be honest, I've even seen not everyone, but I've seen certain lesbians and gays disrespect trans people. I'm like, that's just
I think it's like
stomach.
Pick me energy, isn't it?
100% pick me energy.
If you're in a community and you're disrespecting people in your own community, I feel like that is just pick me energy. Like.
But it's also internalized homophobia. Yeah. Like, everything can be internalized sexism, internalized homophobia. Like, even when I see certain gay men putting other gay men down to impress straight men to take the piss out of them, it's just like, what are you actually doing? Yeah. Like, if they don't like me, they're not going to like you either.
Exactly.
Well, they're not going to say they don't like you to your face.
Exactly.
So it's just mind-boggling, but I just think it's just crazy that, and I'll say, I have the gay LGBTQ plus community is a beautiful community itself, but there's so much cutthroat bitchy. It's like, with gay feminine men, it's mask for mask, femme for femme, where when I date a partner, I don't care whether he's masculine or feminine.
Yeah.
Once he respects me, my boundaries.
Yeah.
And that's what I always tell young people, never be judgmental or close yourself off with looks, because like, looks is only, okay, you have to have
it's
that sexual
level.
Attraction.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to say you should date someone that's like, that's like, like a jelly bean or like a baked bean, you have to have that attraction, but it's not the main thing you should focus on as a person, where you can be attracted to their opinions. Sometimes a man with a good opinion and a good dialect can turn me on. Just saying.
It doesn't need, but that's so true, because do you know what? Looks fade. That's the other thing. Looks fade. You have to like get on with someone on a level of like really being able to sit and talk to them for hours and hours on end. And like, there's no point having something good to look at, but that you can't speak to.
Yeah.
Because what about when yous are 70 and yous are looks are gone out the fucking window? You know, not old people are beautiful, but you know what I mean? Looks fade. It's all about how yous get on.
What are we watching tonight, Deirdre, on Channel 4?
Yeah, exactly.
We'll have a sneaky packet of crisps.
Yeah. Isn't it mad that we're like, hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to be like old one day. Like when I think about that, I'm like, I'm scared to be
old. I have such age anxiety. I was going to say this as well. And like, I was turning 20. For like, I find like my sister, like she, we obviously have banter, but she goes, "Oh, you're getting so old now," and I'm like, "A 19-year-old is calling me old. Sure. Like, what the fuck?"
Think about when you were like 15, 16. Like when I was 15 or 16, if someone guess, oh my god, Jack, guess what age I'm turning in? How many days? 6 days.
I hate to guess people. 27, 26,
28.
Oh my god, I need you. Can I look like you at 28? Because I think I'm already starting to get dark circles under my eyes. Like, that's actually sad.
Well, I'm covered in makeup, but I'm fucking, yeah, I'm literally like, you know, my birthdays now, I'm like, I don't even want to celebrate them. Especially, do you know what? I'm shitting my 30th. I feel like, Lauren, what? You're over 30. How was your 30th?
30 is the new 21.
I said I'd never have a 30th. And then after COVID, I was like, fuck it, I'm having a 30th. And I had a big blowout party and all. And then my 31st hit. And because I'm actually 32 next month or this month. And I was like, no, never again. Like, no.
Yeah. No more birthday.
Can I say something that's just so mad? Like, even the disturbing thing with, like social media is so great, but it's like, it's so stigmatized about aging.
Oh,
like, actors and things, where it's quite weird that we want youth all the time.
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't, like, not, like, if I look like a 24-year-old man, that's fine. Yeah. I shouldn't go the now. Each to their own. Some people do work, and I'm not judgmental to that. It's just I wouldn't feel comfortable on that. But I should be go to, if I should look like a 24-year-old man. Yeah. I'm 24. I shouldn't look 18 or 19. You know, the sort
and
of way.
And there's so much as well. Like, it's interesting you say that, because I think we spoke about this on a pod before. For women, it's like aging is like really looked down on. Like women, I'll admit I get Botox. You know, I don't get filler or anything like that anymore, but I get Botox. My biggest fear in the world is getting wrinkles. Like, why do we feel that way about ourselves? It's like aging is beautiful. It shows that you've like...
Have you seen the movie The Substance?
No.
Oh, it's go, so good.
Fantastic. It's
very,
you have to watch.
Very, very bloody. So go with caution. Probably go see it with Alex or someone that can handle blood or something.
Is it in cinema now?
No, it's not in the cinema.
It's on Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon Prime.
Ooh.
But it goes into that where like it's a film where like she finds a substance, and it's like that she's an actor and it's the better version of herself. Oh. And it really deeps into like the Hollywood with the attitude towards women aging and stuff like that. It's a fucked up film, but it's a very interesting film. I know you'd love it. Like,
you always have good film recommendations. You love films, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Whenever I want to get away from the world, I always go to the cinema and like love doing film reviews. Like,
do you ever do a solo date at the cinema?
I've always wanted to do this, and I've seen you doing it, other people doing it. Like my right side of my brain is going, just do it. Like, don't be 80 and being like, wish I'd have done it. But then my left side of the brain is going, people are going to think I'm a smelly weirdo in the corner watching a film on my own.
I went, the best cinema for if you're going on a solo date, you know, the Stella in Rathmines?
No.
So it's this, like,
I'm going to take it, went there years ago.
Yeah, it's this like fancy cinema, and you have like an armchair, like a fucking footrest, a table. They bring like
massive
food. Yeah, so you can order like hot dogs, chips. They bring it down to your thing and you can drink. You can drink
alcohol.
Yeah, so it's brilliant.
That probably wouldn't be very like on core with me, because I'm like, I'll have one drink, and then later on, torty up on the ground, like, brah.
Jack would be slut dropping down at the screen.
Like, I was in Dicey's last night, and I was dancing on a chair, and like there was a bouncer not even minding me, but in the video, I was like, someone said I couldn't dance. Like, now it was more than dancing. I was doing a magic mic on the chair, and I woke up this morning like, oh my god, like I should be locked away. I shouldn't be able to go out.
And Jack, just shout out to Shannon Brooker. Our icon.
Shannon the icon.
Yeah, do you know, we always, when we were doing the episode, me, Daniel and Dylan, we always say Econ because of Shannon. You know the way Shannon always says Econ?
Yeah.
And then Shannon was listening to our podcast on live and she heard us say Econ and she was giggling.
And our energy is so like amazing. And like she's really inspirational as well. Yeah. She talks a lot about disabilities and like people always think, right, that autism is always the same in men and women. It's like, but it's not. Like it's like with heart attacks.
Yeah.
Heart attacks present differently in men and women. Yeah. And I just think, I'm not the spokesperson for disability, but I speak about my personal experience where I don't have autism, but like Shannon is so amazing when she presents herself as autism. She holds herself so brilliantly.
And she actually, I think Shannon breaks like stereotypes as well, because Shannon like is not afraid to, Shannon will take anyone on. She doesn't care. She'll take anyone on. She's not afraid to speak her own mind.
But she's a lovely person. Like she doesn't go out of her way to like cause trouble, but if she's standing up for someone,
she will.
Even with people like out with me, like there was one time I was in Bray and I was wearing like a crop top, and there was one fella like giving me looks and like whistling with his friends. Now I'm the kind of person where I'd put the head down to the floor, walk on. She was like, have you not seen a man in a fucking crop top before? I'm like, Shannon's okay, come on. She's like, no, I'm not letting anybody treat my best friend like that. Aww. I'm like, love you, Shannon.
But that's what you want. That's a good friend. Course. Right, I have a really good question here, right? Because I see you finding clothes in the wildest places. Like you find outfits, you could walk into a furniture shop and come out with an outfit, Jack. So what would you say is the wildest place? I don't know if you'll even remember, but what is the wildest place that you've ever found an outfit?
Some shop in Amsterdam, and I loved Amsterdam.
Do you know, last night when I was doing these questions, Dylan, because Dylan helped me with the questions, and Dylan was like, Niamh, ask him this because I seen he got an outfit in a shop in Amsterdam. So there you go.
So I was in this mad shop, right, and it was literally the night after I carried on Scandalous in a nightclub or something. Like I was actually still drunk trying on the clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I promise I don't need AA. But maybe I might, you know, there's this one shop and it was a neon shop.
Yeah.
And all the clothes were neon.
I know it.
It was playing real like music you'd hear out of a horror film. Yeah. Like, dun, dun, dun. Yeah. And every time I was trying on tops, I was like, I actually feel like Michael Myers is going to come in here.
Yeah.
Because like it was trippy, but mad at the same time.
And it has all them little neon mushrooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that shop. That little shop has like little neon mushrooms and is that on like, you know, on the street in Amsterdam where all the shops
are? Yeah,
it's on like a kind of,
and it's a little like neon shop, and I was just like, this, like drunk as ever, I was like, this saw me like
yup.
And the last day I was literally gone around, like before our flight, I was like, that's lovely.
And
like my sister like, Jesus, he's still drunk trying to oh my god.
As you should be though. As I have something to touch on later about that, but what would you say your most iconic outfit is and where did you get it?
Oh, it's actually a hard one because there's been so many awful outfits and there's been so many nice outfits. I think, you know, when I wore the white fur coat and the like...
Yes.
Well, people also call it the gorgeous silver and white outfit, or they call it the mother of the bride outfit.
Right.
I got it in H&M off the mannequin.
Ooh, no
so
way!
I wore that with my white fur coat and my white heels, and I actually just, even though I felt like a bidet a jumbling in the oven, I felt like royalty that day.
Yeah, it's all about how... Do you know what? The thing about fashion is... Fashion is subjective to each person. So people online that are nasty about, like, I even get people saying stuff about, do you know one thing I always get? Because when I was growing up, girls, and I don't know if anybody else was told this, we would not just wear a pair of jeans for one day and then throw them in the wash, right? We would not do that. So I might come on like for 2 days wearing the same tracksuit and people are like, you're a dirty bitch. I'm like, lads, I wash myself, but it's not dirty.
Well, here we are impressing, like, are you going to Centra, the Met Gala? Yeah. I go to the Centra in my pyjamas and people would be like, you should be, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
I am an outrage. I'm like, your life is that boring that you're outraged by a gay man going to the shop in his pyjamas. Like, seriously. Like, I'm literally not going to meet the royal family. Yeah. I'm going to get my chicken roll. Leave me alone. If I want to dwell and eat and sleep in my clothes for 3 days, it's like, it's my life.
Let me fucking do it. I completely...
How is that affecting you in any way? Like, some people combust. Like, it's actually so funny. Like.
And I never leave my fucking house, lads. Do you think that I'm fucking putting on a lovely fresh outfit every single day to sit in the fucking house?
Oh, hang on. Let me just do a 4-hour makeup routine and wear, like, I don't know, a ball gown just to watch the telly. Like.
The telly, exactly. And so does your mom or sister ever rob your clothes, or do you ever rob theirs?
Do you know what, right? Now, because my mom and sister are like fabulous legends, where like, because I'm a gay man, I've brought shoulders, but sometimes my sister and mam will have the tendency of robbing a perfume or robbing a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And I go mad and I'm like, this is the part I hate about being a gay feminine man, when your sister and mam want to rob your perfume and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because growing up, oh my God, the killings me and my sister used to have over clothes. Do you know, like, I'm not joking. There would be murder in the house. There would be hair torn out. So we all know your iconic phrase, Blanca Chocolate Magnum Cookie and Waffle Chocolate. You have to say it now. Come on, Jack.
So sometimes I just forget my own catchphrase. Sometimes, like, honest to God, like, people and my friends and family, like, Jack, you're forgetting your own catchphrase. Yeah. So I went up and said, Blanca Chocolate Magnum Cookie and Waffle Chocolate.
I know that's only a few words.
But that's very good for the first few words. I'm making progress. I think that part of my life, I just had no shame.
And that's brilliant. That is like one of the best things I've ever seen on the internet. It was so, do you know why it was so funny, Jack? Because it was so unintentionally funny. Like, you were literally just making a video.
Like, I can genuinely explain the story. People think I was like, right, how am I going to get the algorithm out there? Like, I think I only had like 19 or 20,000 followers at the time. That's still a lot of followers.
But yeah.
I wanted to do a life lesson. I was like, I am a person with disabilities. I will not always have my mum to go get me an ice cream. So I went up and I was like, Blanca Chocolate, like, can I have an ice cream?
Yeah.
And she was like, you could have ordered that in English. She actually ate me with that. And I was like, inside, I was like, bitch, I tried. Like,
yeah.
So then I went on, I told everyone, like, a private story moment.
Yeah.
And like,
it was a private
Brandon
story
and
moment.
Daniel and everyone was doing it. And I was like, the icons I looked up, I was like, this is funny, like, wow, like.
And did you have any idea that it would go viral, or were you really surprised when it did go viral?
I was surprised. Like, I thought I was going to get about 2 likes and someone going, nobody cares.
Yeah.
That Karen's Diner is so funny. I see in the comments you said where I was in Karen's Diner and you said it's like the hate comments in real life. And I was
sorry. Yeah, I was confused there for a minute. I was like, huh? But yeah, Karen's Diner is literally like the hate comments in fucking real life. I'd be scared to go in there.
But I always say do it right. And this is coming from someone that cries when they say they don't like my shoes or something.
Yeah.
So like, I went with my friend, I said, I'm not going to be able, I'm going to run out here crying. Mm. But you actually surprise yourself. Now, it won't be for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, there was literally one time I went and like they threw the garlic sauce that's gone. There's your sauce, just shut up.
Did they? No, I'd be so scared. Like, I can't deal. I'm very bad, like, socially in situations where I don't know people. So I feel like I would literally just be rocking in a corner. I'd be like, I can't take this.
Maybe also, this is me that has a crying tantrum if they don't have taco sauce in the centre. Like, I genuinely laughed with it because I think, right, I laugh at myself so people can't do it behind my back.
Yeah.
So I went there and my friend who was really like, oh, this is going to be, like, they were the person that got sensitive.
Where
it didn't even bother me. And like, I actually came out surprised where they have a thing where they can't be racist, sexist, homophobic.
Yeah.
There's a limited of things they actually can say.
Yeah.
And like, they do a little thing where they get you up to do like a catwalk.
Oh, no way.
And I've done that and it's just so funny.
And come here. So, you obviously got a cup. I know we mentioned it at the start, but were you in shock? Like, literally an iconic.
I was literally in Disneyland Paris and Howard Studios messaged me going, we'd love to collaborate with you. And I'm like, with my family in Paris, like, is this real? Like, this is fantastic.
And how did your family react?
They were loving it. Like, they literally like got a little cake and drinks and celebrated with me. And I want to say, I do have a very accepting family.
Yeah.
And people on social media will always say, oh, man, dad's proud. They actually are. My dad has a matching pride tattoo to show his support for me. My dad has been to every single pride parade and there's always this thing where, like, if I'm gay, that my dad hates me or my dad wants to tear me into a million pieces.
No.
Where I do feel so bad for the people that have that reality.
Yeah.
And my heart does go out to them. But if it wasn't for my mum and dad, I would not be here in this chair.
Oh, Jack.
They're literally Superman and Superwoman.
I've seen, like, whenever, I know you've posted a few videos with your dad, and I've always thought your family are really, really supportive. And I think that's probably been such a big help to you as well. Because I feel like for a lot of, just thinking for like a gay man, if their family was like, no, like, we don't accept you, that must be fucking awful. Like,
and I don't want the whole part of the interview to be about my sexuality, because I always want to show people, like, it's a small part about you, and don't feel you can't. I go into straight pubs and being like, I should have every right to sit here as this other person. People have said, well, because you dress so nice, maybe for your safety, you should go to only gay bars, or maybe you should have someone go in the car with your outfits. I'm like, no. People should be able to control their urges.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's the same if a woman wears a revealing outfit.
Yeah.
If you cannot manage your anger or cannot manage your, like, it's okay to have thoughts, but some people can't control the urges. Do not deflect. That's on you.
Onto other people.
So if it's a man wearing like makeup, or if it's a woman wearing a skirt, like, it's 2025.
Yeah.
People should be able to be in the world and be whatever way they. I just think, to me, it's mad the way some people try to rationalise hate in their head.
But you know what? I feel like the men who are, what's the word, like, angered by men wearing makeup or men dressing feminine, they are not comfortable in their own sexuality.
And I don't want to assume, but I do think it comes to internalise, and they definitely are on the inside. Because I think a confident heterosexual man shouldn't be bothered by a gay man, or like, shouldn't be threatened. Where if I'm a confident gay man, it shouldn't bother me if a woman is, like, let's say, mess flirting, or one of my friends is messing. Like, the odd, like, if a girl calls me handsome, I'm comfortable enough in my sexuality to be like, thank you, and I feel threatened. So I don't get this whole, oh, I don't want to, if you're gay, don't look at me. And it's just
people
assuming that I love every man on the earth.
As it, do you know, that does my head in, right? Because
they literally look like Ratatouille. Yeah. Like, don't touch me, I'm not gay. And they look like Ratatouille.
Yeah, as if you ever would have wanted to fucking touch them in the fucking first place.
As if gay men come in and go, oh, how many men are in the room? You know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
I can see it. Like I've had straight friends where I've sit there and had intellectual conversations and not want to jump in their pants.
And
like, you know
there's
what I
so
mean?
Many, there's so many straight men that are, like, I feel like there's so many straight men that are, like, not homophobic and not that way. So that's why, to me, when they're, because there is a big chunk that are, and there is a bit, not to paint them all with the same brush, like, not everybody is, but there is a chunk of men that are, like, super homophobic. If a man's wearing makeup, they're, like, calling them slurs and all. That has to come from.
But under the same breath, we'll want to have them in the bedroom.
Yes!
When I was looking.
Exactly.
Like.
But that has to come from within, because for that level of anger to something that just has zero effect
on
you.
And I used to have a very zero tolerance going, they're horrible, they shouldn't be doing it, they're weirdos. But even though they're doing it to me, like, I think it's a powerful thing to still have empathy for someone while they're trying to drag you down. Because I think, you know, if you can't be yourself, God love you. Where I think...
And you're very...
It's not water off my back if you're going to slag me, because I'm confident out here wearing leather and makeup and feeling slay. But...
And they probably wish that they could have that confidence. That's the thing.
And in Dublin, there's so high rankings of that. Like, there's been times where I think 2 years ago, this young fella tried to throw a bottle of coke at me.
I remember that.
And I was just, it was a real shocking thing. And it's so sad, because to be myself in Dublin, it's a risk every single time I walk out the door.
Yeah.
But I would die for what I believe in, because I think, no, I shouldn't wear like a jumper and tracksuit. I shouldn't be silenced.
No.
Like, every little boy deserves to feel that magic inside them, to feel glittery.
Yeah.
To wear them boots. Like,
and like, clothes do not have a gender. Like, anybody can wear whatever. The same way I can go right now. Like, do you know what gets me though? If you go right now and you wear an outfit, a quote unquote girly outfit, people have so much to say to you. But if I went into JD and bought a Nike Tech tracksuit, nobody's saying anything to me. Do you get what I mean?
And I will say, like, that, like, I just think the LGBTQ plus community gets a bad rep, because there are certain individuals with bad representation. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say every single gay man is a nice person.
Yeah.
There are certain gay men out there that are horrible. And what pisses me off with some feminine men that use their femininity to degrade and put down women.
Women, yeah.
And I just think, like, what is the need for that? Like, the girls are supportive to you.
Yeah.
So be supportive back.
Yeah, like, any of my, right, I don't know if this is, like, bad to say, but any of my friends that are gay, like, they're one of the girls to me. You know what I mean? They're one of my girls.
It's not bad.
All of my friends are gay. Literally, nearly every single friend I have.
I'd say
is
it's
gay man.
Subjective to every single person, because they say, I'm not the president for gay men. Like, what may not offend me could offend
someone else.
But for a girl to be like, oh, like, you're like one of the girls, it's showing I'm comfortable with you.
Yeah.
I don't feel threatened by you.
Yeah.
Where, like, I would be a gay feminine man and be like, no, I wouldn't, like, slush shame a girl.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm wearing feminine things, so I will embrace another person that wears feminine things. Now, everybody is each different opinion. I know some gay men use the girls' toilet, but me personally, I just wouldn't do that because it's a woman's only space. Mm-hmm. And there could be, I'm not saying that they'd feel threatened, but there could be some women with PTSD needs that comfortability, where, like, I've had this conversation with, like, family and friends all the time, where, like, I wouldn't put down, because unfortunately some gay men don't feel safe in men's toilets, but it's just a thing with me. I'm all about respecting women's only spaces. So for me, I just wouldn't do it. But everybody is different.
And so I've seen on your social media that you get a lot of hate from going on nights out. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. People think because, I don't know, that I go out, blow all my money, and that all I care about is partying, and that I'm deflecting.
But so what if you did? You're in your fucking early 20s. Like, what do they want you doing? Knitting and crocheting at home?
Or, like, telling me what I should spend my money on. Like, should I just go into a shed and drink water and broccoli and sorry that I want to go out on a Friday night and get a little bit woo-hoo-hoo. Yeah. Like, we all do. We all have to let off some steam.
Like, for just to say, lads, right? Jack is sitting here in the podcast studio early after a night out. If that's me, and Lauren can tell you this, I am not seen for a week. So he's obviously not fucking doing anything too fucking wild. So leave him alone, right?
There's worse things you could be doing.
Exactly.
I understand, like, I do try to see where people are coming from. Sometimes it can become an unhealthy habit. And I suppose old me would think, oh, they're telling me what to do, they're lecturing me. I do try, now I try see perspectives rather than take it as an attack. But some of them to be like, ah, you're just a waster. You have a dirty problem. Okay, I drink twice a week.
Yeah. No.
Like, oh, people, like, no shame, and I understand there's addicts out there that are suffering terribly, and my thoughts are with them. What people are going on is if I drink from the moment I wake up, Monday to Sunday. I wish I could afford that.
Yeah, that's what I see all the time. I see people treating you going on a fucking night out during the week as if you have some sort of alcohol problem. Lads, can we all remember how in our, like, when I was 16 years old, I tell you, I was going out about four times a fucking week. I'm not even, while I was in school, like, going out twice a week to the fucking George is not that fucking deep. People are so, I don't know what it is though, Jack, because I could go on a night out and I feel like they wouldn't say the same thing.
Like, it's where I was going over to move to Amsterdam to perform the red light district. Like, and there's no shame in that.
Yeah.
Oh, also, when I went to Amsterdam, like, we actually walked past the red light district.
Oh my God.
And one of the girls, like, I waved at her and she went like that.
No way.
I put up the peace sign and I just think...
Did you go to any of the sex shows? You should go.
I heard they're meant to be fantastic.
Oh, they're so good.
See, it's not really a thing you do with your mom and sister.
Yeah.
If I went to friends, I probably won't.
Yeah, if you go with friends, you should, right? So the sex shows, they're not like, you don't go to be like creepy. They're actually really entertaining.
Yeah.
So me and Alex went. We actually went twice. That's how good they were. Oh my God, it was the most entertaining thing ever. Like, literally... Oh, I can't even.
I got a pair of heels from the red light district.
Oh, no way, did you?
They were the heels I actually wore on the Socially Awkward podcast.
Oh, unreal.
Them heels I actually got in the red light district.
Deadly.
The fabulous heels of them latex tops. And
yeah.
I've even walked into Ann Summers being like, I would like. And the thing is, I've worn corset bodysuits and they're like, you're wearing underwear. I'm like, you can wear them with a pair of jeans.
Yeah, you can.
I understand it's some bodysuits are made for lingerie purposes, but you could wear them with a pair of cargos and jeans and make it look like an outfit.
Yeah. I do that all the time. So this is what I mean. I feel like people really unnecessarily, like, do you know what? I think a lot of people are very intimidated by your comfortability.
And I don't even want to say that I'm an intimidator, because I don't want to be like, they're threatened by me.
I don't
want to have that narcissistic tendency. Where social media has really taught me to be humble.
Yeah.
But sometimes a character flaw, I try to mask insecurities by humbleness.
Yeah.
And it's just about finding the balance, not being like, I'm a star and everyone's just the actors, or it's not being like, I'm a worthless piece of shit. It's trying to find
the middle.
Be confident, but don't be too much.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel, do you know, I only figured that out because when I was getting loads of hate on social media, I kind of became like egotistical as a defense mechanism. Like, well, fuck you, I'm better than you kind of thing. And now I feel like I've only found the middle ground now. You know what I mean? It's a lot of the time that is a defense mechanism.
And
for
sometimes you learn about yourself when you make mistakes.
Yeah.
And when you take the criticism, like I said, when I used to wear the nanny tops, I used to like have that egotistical thing. I think it's nice, like whatever. But there were some people that were being horrible about, but there was genuine people that were going, Jack, let me hold your hand when I say it. Wear nicer clothes. Yeah, you know, that sort of way. So now,
and that's part of finding yourself. Like, that's a big thing that I think people forget. How many, like, I can look back at some of my outfits and be like, oh my God, like, what was I doing? What was I wearing? That is how you find your fashion. You can't find your fashion without making mistakes.
Without making a mistake. Yeah, exactly. Like, and I think that's in any part of life. Like, you can't learn unless you make mistakes.
Exactly.
Am I going to fuck up as a human and make mistakes along the way? Yes. Like, you know, nobody's perfect. Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah.
And I think true acceptance of who you are and being happy in the moment will unfortunately take years to do.
Yeah. So obviously with you dealing with a lot of hate on social media just for being yourself, what advice would you give to a young gay man wanting to start social media? Or just doesn't have to be a young gay man, any young person that wants to start social media and but is afraid because of other people's opinions.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It can be hard.
Yeah.
It can be challenging. You can feel like the most disgusting, loneliest person, mm-hmm. but it's worth it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the trail of going out and feeling accepted and being happy, telling people, no, I'm not going to submit to this bullying. I'm not going to stop. I am going to be happy. I have the right to go out and frolic and anything the same anybody else doing.
Yeah.
It is, and also having the right people around you, you will find your tribe and you will shine like the star you deserve to be. Yeah. That's what I would tell 10-year-old me.
Exactly. I would completely agree with that. I think social media is a place for everybody, but I think you have to have quite a thick skin on social media. But I didn't have a thick skin when I started social media. I grew one. So I feel like you can grow it.
Yeah. It's also okay to show in that moment. Like, yeah. I've taken social media breaks. And the biggest thing I would say, you don't have to like be the end. Like, I found this right where I was doing little shout outs or I was at the start, I was genuinely getting the piss taken out of me. I'm not going to sit here and say all of my followers are some of them are following me for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
But a very, very inspirational fella on a night out said, don't be everybody's performance monkey.
Yeah.
You do what you're happy with and don't like go out of your way to perform for someone that isn't going to respect you.
Yeah.
And the love for myself grew from there.
Yeah.
And you find that with learning about yourself.
Sorry, girl.
No, sorry.
I keep burping.
Oh, I always burp.
Yeah.
I show another thing. I know this is so random. Like, I even get the girls, like, sometimes when we're out and they're belching and they get looks in the cafes, like, ugh, that's not ladylike.
No, I'm
like,
girls belch.
Then again, back to being obsessed with the genders, now belching is for us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, off and
just, I'm forever belching.
Go back to your apple tart and your orange juice and let me friend belch. Like, honestly.
Right. As you know from my social media, I got diagnosed with autism in March last year, I think. And I had so many people go, you're lying, you're this, you're that. And I know you've been through similar with your disability. You've had people say, oh, you're just looking for attention, or you've had people make fun of you for your disability.
Or people being like, I have my daughter has dyspraxia, my cousin has dyspraxia, and that doesn't happen to them. Yeah, that because it's not like a spectrum level. Some people have it mildly, some people have it severely. Like, I could sit here on the podcast and talk in a very way that comes across, and then tomorrow I may ask my mum to tie my shoelaces.
Yeah.
Where, like, disabilities, people think disabilities are people in wheelchairs or people in crutches.
Yeah.
Where you may be affected by autism differently to another individual.
Yeah, yeah, even, like, for example, disabilities don't affect any two people the exact same way. Like, Shannon is a girl with autism. I'm a girl with autism, and me and Shannon have a lot of similarities, but we also have, guys, Shannon is Jack's friend, by the way, and my friend, Shannon Brooker. Hi, Shannon.
She's an amazing friend.
Yeah. But me and Shannon have a lot of similarities, but also a lot of differences. No two people with a disability is the exact same, especially not something like autism, dyspraxia, anything like that, because they're a spectrum. And then they're a spectrum in the spectrum, because say all of the characteristics of that, so one person might have more of this and less of this, and one person might have
and
more
some people
of this
say it's just an excuse to get away with stuff. I'm like, no, it's not that it's an excuse, but it's an explanation.
Yeah,
like sometimes when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I can't do a task.
Yeah.
Like cleaning my room, or I can't go to the shop. There's sometimes where I'll feel so overstimulated, I'll have to.
Yeah.
I'll either have an outbreak or I'll snap or I'll cry. So yeah. I also have sensory processing disorder.
Yeah.
I don't mention it enough as dyspraxia, but with sensory processing disorder, I describe that it's not like autism, but the experts say it has similarities where, like if I'm hungry, I feel like I'm never going to eat again.
Yeah.
And the feeling of not eating brings on an anxiety attack. Or if I'm tired, tiredness can bring on an anxiety attack.
Yeah.
So that's like, but then again, like sensory processing disorder can affect everybody differently.
Yeah.
And I just think, you know, we can be more educated and learn where, like, I would never be angry if someone wanted to learn something about dyspraxia or my disability.
Yeah.
I wouldn't treat them like they're an idiot.
Yeah.
I'd go, that's because not everybody is going to be educated on disabilities or educated on abuse against gay people, where like if you explain it in a way where it's telling them rather than talking down to them, they're more susceptible to listen. But if you're like, I used to do it back in the day, I'm gay and you just have to understand. People are like, I actually don't have to understand anything, we fuck off. But like, approach it in a non-aggressive way, people are susceptible to understand and listen.
That's very, very true, Jack.
Sorry for all the language.
No, you're grand.
Probably bleep, 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 bleep.
No, we don't bleep. You're allowed, Chris, don't worry. Jack has a very wise, one thing about you, Jack, I think you're a very wise person. You have an old head on young shoulders. As anybody ever said that to you before?
Yeah, people to sometimes say like that I look that I'm older, and I'm not by the
No, you don't look older. You're very wise in how you speak. Like you speak like somebody that has experienced a lot in life and learned a lot of lessons.
And I'm not a psychiatrist.
You don't look old at all. You look young.
I'm not a psychiatrist or anything, but like I talk a lot on personal experiences.
Yeah.
And that's what helps me with my journey.
Yeah.
I had a brain fart.
No, you're grand.
You can add that in. Yeah. Like I'm sitting here talking about how like I've learned and like emotional intelligence. I'm like brain fart.
Yeah. But there you go. Like this is things that people mightn't necessarily see, especially with hidden disability. That like people think that, I don't know. I think another thing people forget is that people show a lot of the time on social media, people are showing a lot of the good and not. That's one thing about you. You do show the bad. You show the bad and you show
your emotions. And I think that's why people try to say this is not a good example for fellas at all. This is not how gay fellas are. Like,
oh, shut up.
I'm like, yeah, as I said before, I'm not the president for gay men. I'm sharing my life.
Yeah.
And in the honest way I can. So being a gay man is not all rainbows and glitter and glitz and glam and happy nights out in the George. Sometimes it's waking up and wishing you weren't here anymore. Yeah. Sometimes it's waking up and like wanting to physically smash your room up and go, I hate life.
Yeah.
And that's mental health in itself. And like, you know, sometimes talking about mental health is the strength.
Yeah.
Because it's
absolutely
hard to do sometimes.
And it's like,
not even for the LGBT community, for any individual in this life.
And a big thing that I believe in is a problem shared is a problem halved. Like when I hold things into my own brain, they get so overwhelming. I get so freaked out and worried. I'll have panic attacks. The minute that I voice like how I'm feeling, I immediately feel better about it. So a problem shared is a problem halved. Lauren, what were you going to say?
All I was going to say is, if you don't mind, Jack, just for the listeners that don't know, do you want to just tell them a little bit about what dyspraxia is, just in case
of
they
course.
Don't know?
Yeah.
Now, thank God I've Googled. Sometimes I find it hard to explain. It can be not accurate messages down to the body.
Right.
Brandon did explain it in a very good way, but that is very accurate, where like sometimes if I'm going to the shop, like someone will have to send a text message.
Right.
I can go, right, I'm getting butter and a bread, or I'm getting a roll and two packets of crisps. But if it's like multiple things, I will have to have that written down. And in school, I had to have a laptop because sometimes the dyspraxia can affect like writing sometimes.
Okay.
And people are like, yeah, bullshit, you're dancing 6.5-inch heels. But sometimes walking in heels actually improves my dyspraxia.
Yeah.
For me personally. And with dyspraxia, it's a like coordination thing, and it can be a number of things. And you can do things like martial arts, swimming, dancing, stuff like that can actually help your... And dyspraxia does get more manageable as you get older,
you
do things like that.
Yeah. And so is it, just from my own knowledge, from what I know, is it your brain is sending the wrong signals down to your body?
Sometimes it can be that, yeah. And also, I know this sounds like the disability milkshake, but I have a pragmatic language disorder.
Oh, what's that?
So it's kind of like Oh God, do you want me to look it
up? Yeah. So yeah, just not
my
to,
brain will just be here, like buffering, like an auntie's laptop, like
pragmatic language disorder. So pragmatic language disorder is a condition in which someone has difficulty communicating both verbally and non-verbally in social situations. Language pragmatics is the use of appropriate communication methods in social settings. This includes things like knowing what to say, how to say it, and when to say it. Jack, you've actually overcome so much, even just like you have the pragmatic language disorder, dyspraxia, sensory processing disorder, and you've overcome so much.
And I understand it sounds like I'm one of these, like, see you next Tuesday, that wakes up and goes, what disability will I
have today? No, not at all.
I know there's like people out there that do that, and I think that's so insulting to people who actually have disabilities. Yeah. But I use humour, where I call it the disability milkshake.
Yeah.
And some people can say that. I find humour is my best way of coping through things. Sometimes I laugh in nervous situations.
Yeah.
Like, I laugh at my nerves, and it won't always mean that I'm horrible. It's just like sometimes I'll even make jokes about my weight or my sexuality. Like, I'm not making a joke at anyone else's expense. It's a joke towards myself. Yeah. Sometimes, like, it's controversial, but I like to use humor.
Oh no, I'm the same. If you use humor, then it lightens the situation.
It lightens. You know exactly.
Right, Jack, so we are bringing in this new segment. We used to have a segment, right, called True or Tattle. And basically it was people would send in voice notes and I'd have to guess if it was a true or a lie. But everybody kept telling the truth all the time. So we decided to rebrand our segment to...
Oh, thank God you're doing that. The unscripted to be cancelled.
Yeah, we're rebranding to the trauma dump. So have you got any trauma dumps, like any story that happened to you that sticks in your head and you're like, oh my God, that happened to me? It can be funny, like it can be like something that happened to you on a night out.
Yes. So this was Pride, and right, I was on my way to the George and I met this lovely girl and she gave me a Four Loko with vodka in it.
Right.
So me thought, this is going to be a great idea. I get into the George and I'm absolutely shit-faced and I fell onto the floor and someone helped me up. But my drunk brain thought he was slagging me dog. I don't know why. So then I want to leave the George early. I'm twerking in front of a Dublin bus and I'm running up to this poor woman that's walking down the road with her dog, God love her, and I wanted to pet her dog. I was like, can I pet your dog? I want to pet your dog. Your dog's so fabulous and beautiful. And my friend's like, no, come on, go away. Like, and I'm just running down the road twerking in front of buses, making an absolute hit myself.
Oh, but love that. Love that. Absolutely love that. And what would you say is your most unscripted moment? Like, what's something that happened to you that just went totally against what was supposed to happen?
Oh, that's kind of a hard one.
It is a hard one. I don't know my unscripted moment tonight to be asking people.
And do you know what annoys me? I'll go home and treat and remember stories and I'm like, I could actually said that. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I have a funny one with the cinema. There you go.
My see?
So I went to see a film with my dad, right? And like the screen, you know when you go to the cinema and the screen's like really dark?
Yeah.
So I went to go to the toilet and you know when you go back to the cinema, you find your person you're sitting with and you're like, what did I miss?
Yeah.
Like, what happened? So I sat beside this couple. This couple that I've never met before. And I sit next to a man and I'm like, what happened? And he's looking at me like, I'm going to get a shot. And he's like, what? And I'm like, oh my God, you're not my dad. Who are you? And then the girl is also looking at me and I'm how can you just explain that situation?
Yeah.
I was like, and I ran.
Yeah.
I was like, thank God I got out of that situation. Like, but genuinely, because sometimes in the cinema screens, you can barely see your hand.
You can't see anything. I'd be going up with the flashlight and everyone just be looking at me.
My dad said, I'm over here and he never lets that story down.
That's brilliant. That is, you know, do you ever, I have this vague memory of getting into the wrong car one time, right? But I can't fully remember. I think it is so traumatizing that I've forgotten about it. But I remember being
a kid. That happened to a lot of people.
Yeah, I remember being a kid and getting into the wrong car and then being like, oh, sorry, and getting out. But I can't fully remember it. So it must have been really traumatizing if I
can't
fully
remember. And
like, they
expect you to have like an intellectual conversation, like when I nearly sat on your man's lap. What would you mean? I'm so sorry, sir. I am so sorry that you were, I thought you were the person I was with. Bye-bye. Like, no, you're just like, you freeze in that situation.
Yeah.
Like, what did I just fucking do?
Yeah.
yeah. And sometimes it looks worse if you try to.
Yeah, it does. It's just like get up and run. Fight or flight.
Yeah, fight or flight mode. Oh, I also have one more funny story that kind of happened to me. But it's mad. The end of it, it's all just coming out like verbal story diarrhea. So I was in Buseris, right? And I didn't do it intentionally. So I wanted to go to the toilet. So in Buseris, there's certain steps that walk to the men or the women's. I didn't. I just took a random staircase because I was really, really boring. And I went in and I went to go to the toilet, in the girl's toilet. And I seen the girl beside me. Stupid me thinking she made the mistake. I was like, oh, are you lost? And another woman came out, an old woman, mind you. And the two of them are looking at me. I'm like, oh, I'm the one that made the mistake. I was like, and in that situation, fight, especially a man being in a woman's toilet, I was like, sorry.
What is the bus toilets
like? It was so awkward.
What are the bus toilets like? I feel like there used to be a toilet on my school bus, but we never were allowed to use it. Are they scary, the bus toilets?
To be honest, they kind of, I know I can't sit here and be, a stuck-up bitch at the toilet at the end of the day. It's
a bit. Oh, no, I'd be a stuck-up bitch. I'm scared of the bus toilet.
Like, I know I'm not talking about the grand Titanic. Like, I know it's a badookie seat.
Not the cleanest, but not the nicest
establishment.
Yeah, even airplane toilets or, like, train toilets, I'm, like, terrified. Do you know what? They're always really small and I'm like, I feel like I can't move.
Because I'm so claustrophobic, I'm literally like doing a Megan Thee Stallion spot, like trying to just go to the toilet, and I'm like, I really just don't want to pick up anything else.
Yeah.
I know the train ones are the worst. Do you know the ones with the like automatic door, and you're standing there waiting for it to close before you sit down on the toilet?
Oh,
you know,
no,
the ones, like on the dart.
No. Oh, on the train, and it's like, lock the door for privacy. If I lock the door, I've seen horror films. If I don't lock the door, someone literally see me doing a half naked Megan Thee Stallion on the toilet.
Oh, Jack, thank you so much for coming in.
I was so happy to come in, and like just always seeing all the different podcasts. I'm finally in the unscripted podcast. I can check that off.
We're so happy to have you, and thank you for taking the time to come in. And honestly, I think people are going to love your interview. I know anybody who listens to this podcast is going to love you, and you actually have been a highly requested guest every time.
I'm not for everybody. But I take the good with the good and the bad with the bad.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just so happy to be here.
Yeah. And do you want to give your Instagram and TikTok handles just in case anyone wants to follow?
Of course. And I don't blame you as if some of you get migraines. Sometimes I get migraines making me on videos. So my Instagram is SwiftJack2001 and my TikTok is JackSwift597.
Perfect. Jack, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
I loved it.
No, hold on. Let's gay slay today, okay?
It's time to gay slay the day. Mua!
Guys, that's a wrap. Thank you for listening. I really hope you enjoyed the episode. As usual, if you have anything that you want to send in, you can find us at Unscripted Go Loud on Instagram, and our email address is unscripted@goloudnow.com. Thank you for listening, guys. See you next week. Mwah.
Unscripted with Niamh O'Connor, a Go Loud original podcast.